Thanks for coming out, everyone. Thanks for praising and worshiping the King. It's always a good day when you praise and worship the King. You know, we're blessed that we have freedom to do that in this country. It's not that it's an attack from a fly. That's symbolic. I mean, it's praise God, not prophetic. We win over that. And all they represent. Anyway, yeah, thanks for all coming out tonight. I do see a few handful of new faces. Brand new. We're not going to like get you to stand up and say anything, but we have a couple relatively new faces. How did you guys hear about this gathering, this little get together? Him, okay. You found out about it from him last week, yeah. And you're back. That's always a good sign. Thank you. And saw you on Sunday too. Awesome. That's really cool. And those guys back there. You guys been
there
before?
Here before. Yeah.
Yeah, you were here before. Yeah, about a couple. Yeah. That's cool. So you heard about it from one of these guys. That's good. You guys are from Baltimore. You moved up this way? Cool. How'd you hear about it? Cool. That's just a good call there. Yeah. Got a walking miracle there. There's a bunch of people here walking miracles. We're all walking miracles. It's just good. We're just real thankful. So thanks for coming out tonight. We really appreciate it. Cold night. All that jazz. It's going to be warm in here, trust me. just a few announcements. And I actually have notes, which I rarely have, but just to like kind of get the announcement stuff down, because there's just so much going on with the holidays and so on. But first and foremost, those of you that are aware of Neck Ministries, that's neckministries.com. It's Dan Moeller and Todd White's ministries, their website and so on. There's going to be a bunch more uploaded teachings. Specifically, to this point, we've had about four teachings on there that were just Todd, a couple that were Todd and Dan, and then a bunch of Dan's. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we finally got caught up with Todd to get a stack of some CDs, and they're currently being uploaded. So sometime in the next 24 to 72 hours, there's a very good chance that there'll be at least a dozen plus more teachings by Todd, many of which you may never have heard before. Also, as of the next probably 3 to 12 hours, there's going to be a special page on there which has been like big time requested. It is a prayer page. Now, who knows that there's 10,000 people that want to get a hold of Todd tonight so he can pray for their miracle. And who knows that Todd can't be a mighty man of God, be a father to his children, a husband to his wife, and a man of God that spends time sitting on Daddy's lap and listening to what Daddy wants to tell him, and be praying for everybody individually. They're just, that's not the leverage, and that's not what their ministry is about. Well, this isn't, there's different seasons within the body of Christ and so on and so forth. So we're not putting down anything that was from the past or anything else, but this is a different season than the one that has passed, which was about usually the mighty anointed man or mighty anointed woman of God. And they'd come and they would see the Amy Simple McPherson's, they would see, you know, the Oral Roberts. They would come, you know, to the Benny Hinn's. And he's still this mighty man of God today. But they would come looking for their miracle coming through that one specific man. And what Dan and Todd have been teaching, what we try to make sure we teach here, it's not about the mighty anointed man or woman of God. It's about we're all believing believers, and according to the Word, according to Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe, period. So it's about the little old me's getting out there in the marketplace and seeing somebody and praying for them, seeing somebody with a limp, seeing somebody with a, you know, the oxygen chain with a COPD, seeing people that just are hurting, they look downtrodden or whatever, and just praying for them. Because not all miracles are the ones just getting out of the wheelchairs. They're awesome, and we really need to see more of those. Or the deaf ears opening, or the blind eyes opening. We've seen those. But we also need to be praying for the cashier that really looks depressed and looks like she's, you know, really sad. And my wife prays for her, and the next time she sees her, she's a new person. Amen. That's not a coincidence. Amen. The kingdom of God's at hand. Amen. Okay, and anybody can just pray for somebody. Take 30 seconds or 2 minutes and just, can I just pray for you, honey? Can I just pray for you, brother? It's not difficult. And God will honor that. He'll back it up. And it will change the world one person at a time. And then we get out there and do that, and then others do it, and so on and so on. And you get the multiplication factor, as opposed to Dan and Todd trying to be everywhere and everything to everyone. That's just not going to work. But because Todd in particular has been on the internet pretty much 24/7, there's about 30 postings on YouTube. That's Todd White, not the hockey player, the artist, but you'll see the white guy with dreads. It's cool. You'll see all kinds of miracles. Also, he's been on the Sid Roth show on SidRoth.org. He's all over Extreme Prophetic with, it's just, there's so many places. He's on CBN and CBN Interactive, and there's just so many places where Todd is, because it's not about Todd. It's about God. It's about doing what Jesus told us to do, which is, go ye therefore, and just do this thing. Greater works than this shall ye do. Well, we're still waiting for some of those, but he said it, so we better believe it and get on with it. It's that simple. So it's all about that. So on the internet, we have specific page now that you can launch from the home page for prayer. There's several dozen prayers. We spent 2 days, about 40, 45 minutes each day, recording individualized prayers for different maladies, different diseases, different problems, different situations. Now, by no means is everything covered, but there's a couple generalized prayers, and then there's like a pre-prayer, so that you get to hear Todd's heart of why he can't return the thousands of emails and every conceivable phone call. It's just not possible. Anybody gets his cell phone number, guess what? He's getting a new cell phone. It's that simple. He just can't do that, and we really try to respect that and honor that as best we can. But the neckministries.com, it's going to bless people. There's so many teachings on there. They're all free, and it's just incredible stuff. And there's some teachings also on YouTube. If you search Todd White, also if you search Dan Moeller, there's some stuff from Power and Love that they've uploaded. And it's just really, really good. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew about that. And I can't thank this person publicly. I just know he's going to get incredible benefits and blessings in heaven for it. But there's a gentleman here that has been doing this all for free. And he won't accept anything, and he doesn't want even any recognition. But I just want to publicly thank him anonymously. Just thank you for what you're doing. Because it would cost hundreds or thousands of dollars to do this, and that's monies that people can put into the kingdom in other ways. And it's just awesome. So just want to thank you. Okay, a couple more just brief announcements. This Saturday, 7 p.m. at Harvest Chapel, where we usually have the healing services, they're absolutely awesome. Well, it's going to finish off with like a mini healing service. And believe me, God's going to be showing up, because when you praise and worship the King, He loves showing up. Okay, but it's going to be the Christmas cantata, and it's going to be awesome. So if you can make it there, it's basically all you do is take Route 30. When in doubt, stay on Route 30. Any questions? It's Route 30 West. And it's 1 mile west of the Abbottstown Circle on the left, right behind Brothers Pizza and the little regional police office there. It's called Harvest Chapel. You'll see the white steeple. It's under construction, so you'll see mud and, those type of things. Backhoes.
John, one more thing.
Yep.
If you guys get there before John and I, save 6 seats for us. Up front.
it's gonna be good. But that starts at 7 this Saturday, and also they'll be doing another run with it on Sunday morning at the 10:30 service. But they'll still be preaching then, because you don't want to miss Don's preaching, and you're not, because you're here tonight. So you're gonna get a taste of Don. It's gonna be awesome. Anyway. Another little thing here, Todd was on the schedule for December 26th, that Saturday night, the healing service. I have some bad news. Somehow he got called to New York, and he's going to be in New York for the Saturday night healing service at Harvest Chapel. The good news is, Dan's going to do it. Yay, God. Talk about from the frying pan into the fire in a good way. That's not a bad deal. I like that. We're going to be out of town visiting relatives, but it's all good. So if you can make it, it's just going to be awesome. And the Christmas Eve service as well will be Dan Moeller. It's going to be short. It starts at 6 p.m., correct? Goes to about 7:30. It's the only service that Pastor Don, who's the head pastor there at Harvest Chapel, is very cognizant of time. He wants to make sure people can get back home, leave in about an hour and a half and get to be with their families. So it's about the only service you're ever going to find that they really even look at the clock. just the way it is. Anyway. Wow. how to intro Pastor Don, because we don't usually go through a lot of these formalities, but not that, you know, some people have been there and know you, and a lot of people may not have ever met you or ever heard of you. But for those of you that are aware of Pastor Dan Moeller, okay, can you imagine Pastor Dan when he left his other church and he was waiting to hear from God as to, like, where to go and what to do? Because he knew doing these healing services in homes and stuff like we were doing. This is the one that outgrew our home. There's one up in Reading that outgrew a friend of ours' home and so on. He was just going around just sharing the truth, the gospel, the kingdom, and preaching with signs and wonders following, preaching it's God's will to heal and so on. Anyway, he's waiting to hear from God, and he gets, like, numerous calls. You can't imagine how many invites he would have to come preach, be their associate pastor, be their head pastor, so on and so forth. He gets a call from Pastor Don, who he had known for years, and he says, I believe what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. I'd just like you to continue doing it, but I'd like to have a healing service on either Friday or Saturday night at Harvest Chapel. Would that kind of fit with the plan? And he says, I think you're hearing clearly from God. And he's been in under that covering and under that ministry ever since. Now, it takes a man that's very humble and is very has a lot of foresight to be able to invite a Pastor Dan Moeller into something like that, because some people would be threatened by that. Oh, there's this following, and oh, he might, you know, there's just humility, and it's all kingdom. It's wonderful. It is so wonderful to see pure Christianity practiced. That's all I can say. Anyway, it's just really good. So a few years back, Dan went in under that covering. It's just been an awesome, awesome marriage ever since. 2 years ago, Todd White in under that covering. And you probably took a little bit of a risk there at first, you might have thought, but it all worked out pretty good. Good old Todd. It's just awesome. Just incredible. And now, how many were here last week to hear Ryan share? Okay. Well, Ryan is Pastor Don's spiritual son. So, I mean, he's got some really good teachers, and you get the kind of idea that, you know, if all these people want to hang around with this guy, he must be something else. And he's just an awesome, he's just a big teddy bear for God. He's like a pastor's pastor. Everybody loves Pastor Don. And for a guy over 50 who's over 150 pounds, the guy can get some serious air. I mean, anybody's ever seen this guy preach? I mean, he can outjump me. I'm serious. I just play some volleyball. I don't know if he can outjump Kat. She's never lost the tap yet. Okay?
You
can get some air. He also kicks up some stuff. When this guy gets excited, I hope he does tonight. I have a feeling we've got him loose. I just shut up and sit down, and he's going to come up here, and he's just going to tear it up in the Holy Ghost. Pastor Don, come on up. I love you. I love your heart. Thank God.
Amen. This guy can mess you up, I'm telling you.
You guys doing all right? Everybody okay? Is it warm in here? Or is it all right? Okay, I was going to open the window. Throw John out. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Feels good. Thank you for letting me come, man. I have made plans for a long time to come and just hang out with you guys. And it's been like in my heart to do that. Man, sometimes schedules just get to be a crazy thing, but it's good to be able to be with you tonight and just be able to share together. It is fun, man. It's exciting just to see what God's doing in the kingdom. There's so many incredible things. John told you I'm the pastor over at Harvest Chapel, and I look back sometimes and think, it's crazy. When you start looking at all the people that God surrounds you with, it's like no one should be that blessed, you know, because there's an amazing group of people that just are calling the church home, and we're just blessed and privileged to be able to be together and share together and to plow together, you know what I mean? I mean, I see what God's doing in John and Bob and some of the guys around here, and it's just exciting to watch, man. I mean, it's like, yay, God, this is just fun. So I'm thoroughly and absolutely convinced we're living in the most exciting time on planet Earth. I don't think there's ever been a more exciting time than right now. You know, I've had people say, man, I'd like to walk when Jesus walked. And I think that would have been pretty incredible.
Sorry.
The kids know that in church.
Boy used to be a quarterback.
And a pitcher.
Yeah. Long time ago.
But people talk about the idea that it might have been an incredible thing to live and walk when Jesus walked. And I think it would have been. I think that would have been an awesome time, you know what I mean? When the early church was seeing its foundations and stuff. But what an awesome time we have as he's preparing his bride for his coming, you know. And I'd like to tell you, oh, you know, you hear so many things, 2012, you know, and all the different things. I'm not into the numbers. I'm not into all that stuff, you know what I mean. I'm not even going to go there on that. I'm going to tell you something, though. This is an exciting time. The body of Christ is coming alive like never before. It's incredible what God's doing. There's signs and wonders and miracles and just incredible things that are happening. I was in a service a couple weeks back down in Maryland, in Baltimore, and it was the Voice of the Apostles. If some of you are familiar with Randy Clark's ministry, but we were down there, and I watched 40 people who had metal in their bodies bend in a way that they shouldn't have been able to bend. And that was incredible. We called people up with metal in their bodies and said, you know, prayed a corporate prayer over a whole bunch of them. Everybody was just kind of praying, joining their hearts together. And he said, now do something you shouldn't be able to do. And people who had steel rods in their backs were bending. People who had steel in their legs were bending their legs. And they weren't supposed to bend. You know what I mean? It wasn't supposed to be. And I sat there thinking, well, either the metal has dissolved or titanium now bends. And either way, it's a good day for God. Okay? I mean, that's just... But we're seeing things. It's exciting. It's absolutely phenomenal. And you might sit there and say, I don't know if I can believe that. I sat there going, and I believe it. And I'm going, wow, this is just amazing to me. But it's God. And it's the hour that we're living. It's an exciting time. And I don't know what he's up to, but there is a few things that I'm confident of. And I was sitting there. I was actually sitting in the office today, and I'm just reading through some stuff. And I taught some stuff last night at Barb. And I think Norma was there last night. Some others were there last night. And I was kind of, it was so in my heart, and I just kind of went back over it, looking at it, saying, I really believe this is the answer. I think I found the answer. It's in the book. It's in the book. I got to encourage everybody, read the book. Don't wait for the movie, because the movie will mess up. Read the book, okay? But when you read the book, the answers are there. I'm convinced that it's a love walk.
Amen.
It's really all about just living and walking in love. And it's the love of God that constrains us and causes us to be and do what we be and do. And I love this because if I'm walking in love, then it's just a natural outflow. Because you can't pour out what hasn't been poured in. But if love's been poured into you, then that's what's going to come out of you. And I'm convinced that that's what we're called to. I'm convinced that that's what we have. I'm convinced that that's what we have to offer. And in the midst of that just so grips my heart because I am so in faith to believe. He calls us human beings, not human doings.
Amen.
There's a reason. Because you can be a Christian actor. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I woke up one night in the middle of the night. You know how you woke up and you're just like wide awake? You know what I mean? And I prayed a little bit and stuff. And I flipped the TV on. There was an old movie on. And they were having a Pentecostal service. It was unbelievable. They were shouting and jumping and dancing. And I'm watching it thinking, man, I'd like to be in that service. Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, yeah, but you're watching a movie. And they're just actors. And do you know how that gripped my heart? Because right in the midst of that, the question, of course, red flagged in my heart, how many actors show up on a Sunday morning? Please don't hear that critically. I'm not being critical. Holy Spirit was just thumping my heart. Because it's one thing to act it out, it's another thing to walk it out. And God calls us to walk this thing out, okay? It's just the reality of who we are in Christ, okay? So it's being very real. How many know we just got to be real? And if you're real, people are going to know you're real. Guess what? If you're not, they're going to know it. They might not know it at first, but sooner or later it's going to manifest and they're going to know that. And it's just my challenge to you tonight. We're going to talk about being real. We're going to talk about living and walking this thing out. We're talking about being dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. And I'm going to take you through. And I don't know if you were there when I did this, but the Holy Spirit's really thought in my heart about this. I think we're going to go back and look at the Good Samaritan. Some things that are revelatory the Holy Spirit showed me on the Good Samaritan that are absolutely incredible. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. What a privilege and opportunity we have to be able to share together today. Yeah. It's a joy in my heart, God, just to be able to take this time just to share your word. And Father, I thank you for truth. I thank you for revelation. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit just moving upon us. And I'm asking you, come on. Come, Holy Spirit, and saturate this room. Fill us up, God. Yeah. Lord, that we might be finding ourselves drawn to you, God, in a deeper and a greater way than we ever have before. That when we leave this place today, we can say, surely we have been with the Lord. Yeah. God, that you would meet us here and embrace us from on high. And let your Holy Spirit just wrap your arms around us and draw us nearer to you. God, we're being conformed to your image. We're being made like Christ. And I ask you, Father, just come and minister hearts and lives. Touch us, God, I pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Come. Yeah. Come, Lord. Touch our lips with a coal hot from the altar of God. Every ear, let it be open to hear your word. Every heart, to receive the word, God, that it'll change us and transform us and renew us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Let me start with this. Can I do this? I just want to start with this. It's a little bit of a testimony. John was talking about walking miracles, and I don't even know how many people at Harvest know this, but I guess it's been about 5 years ago now, 4 years in August, maybe five, four and a half, something. I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. But my wife and I, it was August 23rd, and it was about 10:30 at night. A friend of mine owns a car lot in Hanover, and he got a three-wheel trike there. It was a Kawasaki Voyager, and he had it converted over to a three-wheel trike, had a trailer package on it. And I never rode a trike. I had a Honda Goldwing, but I never drove a trike. So I thought, man, I like you. His name was Bob, and I said, Bob, I really like it. He said, take it, man. Take it, drive it for a couple of days, see if you like it. Maybe we'll work out a deal. And I thought, okay, I'll take it and drive it. I don't know if we can work out a deal or not, but I'll take it and drive it because it sounds like fun. And, you know, driving a trike's a lot different than driving a motorcycle because you lean with a motorcycle, but you know you can't lean with a trike. It's just kind of hard. They don't lean. Okay, you know what I mean? But anyway, in the midst of that, I was driving around in the morning and stuff. I had a bunch of office things to do, and I had an old white Lincoln Town Car. Best car I ever had. Paid $1,000 for it. It's a great car. I love my car. But anyway, I got out. I had some business things to deal with that car, and I came back. I thought, I'm driving on a track some more, and I rode around and had to go back to the office, had some meetings. And I left the office about 9 o'clock at night. It was a beautiful night. There was about 10 bazillion stars out. And I called the wife on my cell phone. I said, man, I said, you want to go for a ride? I said, it's so beautiful. She said, I'm just getting ready to go to bed. I said, man, I said, it is really nice out and it feels really good. She said, okay, come and get me. So I stopped by my son's place. He had a little apartment at the time. Took him for a ride on the trike and took him back. Went and picked my wife up. We went for a ride. We went through Cador State Park. We came around, and if you're familiar with that at all, I would have been coming up 94. I would have been heading north, coming up toward the South Hanover Diner. She had said that we'd come through. We'd got some gas in because I wanted to fill it up. I was taking it back to Bobby the next morning, and we stopped in Spring Grove. And I said to her when we got gas at the Rudders in Spring Grove, I said, are you hungry at all? She said, I could eat something. I said, let's go to South Hanover Diner. So if you know where South Hanover Diner is, you know where this was all taking place. We came up on 94. We're heading north. And when we got there, we came to the diner. There's about seven cars coming south, so I had to stop. So if you're familiar, had to clutch in, foot on the brake, sitting there. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm in deep thought. I'm thinking, do I want a piece of pie or a sandwich? Some things you got to give some deep thought to. You know? So it's 10:30, kind of weighing out, wondering what I'm going to do. That's all I remember. The next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in the trauma unit in York. A drunk driver had come behind us, a little Volkswagen Jetta, 21-year-old kid, he was just stone drunk, and he plowed us. And if you can picture a Jetta, it has a low nose, and it actually got underneath the tow bar on the back of the trike, and it catapulted Lori and I. We went head over heels. I don't remember anything. Everything I'm told by EMTs that showed up, people that saw the accident, police officers that had the reports. But we flipped over, and I actually landed right on the double yellow line, about 25 feet from the impact, and I'm laying face down in the highway. My wife lands about 6 feet from me, but she's paralyzed from the waist down. She can't move. And she's screaming for me because I'm now laying in a pool of blood. We're only a couple of minutes from Parkville ambulance, and there's people there in just a few moments, and they're working on us. Three cars behind, there's the guy that hit me, then another guy, and then behind him was a girl who was not a nurse. What's the other thing? CNA from Utz. What's Utz's? Not the potato chips, but the nursing home thing, whatever. Anyway, she was there. She'd been to my church several times. She came, put compressors on my head right away. The EMT shows up. And when the EMT showed up, she took over. And she said, you're not going to die on my watch. You're not going to die on my watch. But I didn't know any of this. I'm completely out of it. Lori's screaming. She can't get to me. They bring a helicopter to pick her up, and they only bring one. And they said, are you bringing a helicopter for the guy? Lori is very cognizant of everything that's going on around her. And they said, no, we're not even going to bring another helicopter. He's not going to make it. So there's no sense bringing a helicopter. We're going to put him in an ambulance, but he's not going to live. She hears that, right? Okay, so now she's screaming, okay? Because you can imagine losing me. No, never mind. But anyway, she's freaking out. She's freaking out. She's going through a really rough place, you know what I mean? And, of course, she's in a lot of pain herself, but she's really afraid. And they're putting her in the gurney and going to load her in a helicopter. And I don't know if you've ever been in that, but it's a very constrained thing. And she's screaming because she wants to get to me, and they're putting oxygen on her face and taking her away. And that's all she can remember because they put her in the helicopter and they took her. Well, it turns out they decided to bring another helicopter and get me. I'm kind of glad. Okay. Okay. But what happened was, I can't honestly, you know, if some of you know Henry Groover or maybe you know Gary Wood, some of these guys that are friends of mine have all died and been to heaven. I don't remember anything. This ain't for saying God. All I know is this. I woke up in the hospital, got a stitch in my head. Okay, and we didn't have helmets on because we weren't planning on riding a motorcycle. I didn't even have my helmets that day. I just had, you know what I mean? And Bobby didn't have helmets that he gave me. So anyway, long story kind of short, we didn't have any helmets on, which you shouldn't ride without that, and I know better. But anyway, all the stuff is there. He's stitching up my head, and I said, oh, man. I said, I woke up, and I said, what happened? The guy said, you were in a motorcycle accident. I said, is everybody okay? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, is my wife okay? And he said, she's better than you, buddy. Lay still. He stitches up my head. Now, you got to understand, they were going to leave me for dead. He's stitching my head about 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the morning, you know, one early morning, whatever. 4 o'clock in the morning, treated and released and gone home. Amen. Didn't even spend the night in the hospital.
Jesus.
A week later, I showed up at the EMT who was treating me at the scene of the accident. I stood in her living room because her partner is her partner's mom and dad come to the church. That's Tony and Donna Pritt, if you know them. But they come to the church. Well, what happened is they hooked me up with Jason. Jason, there's their son, took me down to be with the EMT lady. He said, you got to talk to her. I walked into her living room with Jason, and she said, get out of here. There is no way that you're standing in my living room. She said, that can't be the same man. And she's screaming now. She's mad. Like, she's mad at me. Like, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. And she said, no, you don't understand. I picked pieces of your skull up off of Highway 94. She said, there is no way. I kept saying, you're not dying on my watch. You're not dying on my watch. But the best I could have hoped for you was that you would either be a vegetable or a quadriplegic. But there's no way you're standing in my living room a week later. And I said, honey, let me tell you, it's Galatians chapter 3. My life's not my own. It's been hidden in the vault in heaven. It doesn't even belong to me. I'm not living for me. I'm living for him. It's his life. I gave it to him 30 years ago. I want to tell you something. I said all that to simply say this. When I came through that accident and came out of that, I came out with a greater tenacity to go after the things of God, to crush hell, to go against darkness and let light shine, because that's what we're called to do.
Amen.
And you know what? Everything inside of me rises up because of that. And not just because, please don't hear it because of that. I guess that's not even the right thing to say. But everything rises up inside of me when you're faced with something like that. And it causes you to realize, man, I got one life to live. Let's live it for the best we can for Jesus Christ. And that's what takes me to where I want to go right now. Go to 1 John chapter 4. And let me help you with some things I think that are going to be a little bit... There'll be some things that are going to be fundamental. Then we'll get to some revelatory stuff in just a little bit, okay? But there's a lot for us to learn, okay? I get kind of excited, and I don't know how things are actually going to go tonight. John will want me to stomp a little. Okay. We'll see what God does, okay? Go to 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. So you go to Revelations, just back up a little bit, and you'll find 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, okay? But we're going to 1 John chapter 4, and take a look. I want to start about verse 7. I think that's probably a really good place to start. In verse 7, he says some things I think that are huge. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I want to stop right there and just take a look at this. The first thing he says is, beloved, let's love one another. You got to understand who's writing this, because it's John. And what's John called? The beloved disciple. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Not a bad tag. If you want to have a good tag, here's a good tag. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Nothing wrong with that, man. That's got to feel pretty good. But John has been poured into by the best. So you know what? If you got poured into, guess what it's there for? To pour out. He's saying, man, can I tell you something? If you got a pitcher of pure water, you can't pour out milk. Why? There's no milk in there. It's just water. What can you pour out? Just water. If you got God inside and God is love, then you can't pour out hate. Amen. That's a good word.
Amen.
Do you understand that? You can't pour out jealousy. You can't pour out envy. When you're only filled with one thing, all you can do is pour out the one thing you're filled with. John was so full of love. And you got to understand something. John, who's writing this, actually writes this from Ephesus. He's in the city of Ephesus. You got to understand. He was already exiled on the Isle of Patmos for 7 years. They put him on Patmos thinking he's going to go crazy and he'll end up dead because he's going to go insane. He's on an island all by himself. And in that exile, it'll drive him crazy because he's going to be all alone. Guess what? He wasn't alone. It was a good day for John. I've wondered what it was like when they came to pick him up 7 years later. Like, hey, guys, how you doing? I'm having a great time. Come to join me? I don't know what all went on in his mind. But I can tell you this. There's some things there that happened. But John has been exiled, so they couldn't kill him. He didn't die. They boiled him in oil. I don't know if you noticed, but John was boiled in oil. And he didn't die. So they took a firebrand, they burned his eyes out. And he didn't die. And then he writes and says, beloved, let's love one another. Let's love one another. I'm going to tell you something, man. Somebody calls us a name, we're ready to kill them. Okay. John gets boiled and exiled and my eyes burned out and says, let's love one another. Yeah. Is that huge or what? That should speak volumes to us. He said, let's love one another. Why? Because love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God. And you know what? Then he says something that I think is revelatory. This is incredible. God is love. He didn't say God has love. Because if you have something, you might lose it. But if you are something, it's just who you are. Come on. God is love. So he says this, and he says, watch what he says, because he says some neat things. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Want to know if God loves you? You ever see people going around saying, I don't know if God loves me? Here's a sign. It's right here on Calvary's Hill. He said, I love you. I love you. It screams out from Golgotha's Hill, I love you. He's simply saying, hey, I love you. It's just huge to me. He's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we can't miss that. In this was the love of God manifested. He sent his Son. It's over. It's done. If anybody ever wants to wonder, you never have to wonder again. He sent his Son. Now watch what he says. Herein is the love of God manifested, okay? Because he sent his Son into the world that we might live, look at the next word, through him. It didn't say for him, it said through him. One of the huge revelations for me is that if I'm living for him, then it's all about works. I got saved. I remember when I got born again, I told a lot of people, I'm living for God now, I'm living for God now, I'm living for God now. And John didn't say live for him, he said live through him. What's the difference between living for him and living through him? If I'm living for him, my works are going to be my effort. It's all going to be about my effort. But if I'm living through him, then you know what it says? It says that he's paved the way. And now it's not even my life, and I'm just living through him. It's like a totally surrendered life, and the Holy Spirit's leading me and guiding me. And I'm not even living for him, I'm living through him because he directs my steps. How many of you know the footsteps of the righteous are still ordered of the Lord? How many of you know if I acknowledge him in all my ways, then you know what he said? He'll direct my path. You know what? I'm going to trust in God with all my heart. I'm not leaning to my own understanding, but I'm going to acknowledge him. Let him direct my path. I'm going to live through him. Amen. There's a huge difference between living through him and living for him. I can tell you, and I don't want to say this critically, please don't hear this wrong, but most of the body of Christ is trying to live for him because we're still stuck in a performance-based religion trying to get the approval of our Father. He didn't call us for performance-based. He called us to a relationship-based religion.
Amen.
And it ain't even about religion. It's all about relationship. Yeah. Do you understand the huge difference for that? He said we'd live through him, not for him. That's a strong word right there. Watch the next couple of things. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If you study John, you're going to find two main themes. There are two words that he reiterates over and over, love and truth. Love and truth, love and truth. You study the Gospel of John, two words are going to resound over and over, love and truth. You study 1 John, it's love and truth. 2 John, love and truth. 3 John, love and truth. You won't see it as much in Revelation, but you'll see it in those other four. That's the reiterating theme over and over and over. It's all about love. It's all about truth. And when he talks about love and he talks about truth, it's an incredible thing what he does, but he's speaking volumes to us about some things that have to be happening. Watch this. He said, you've got to love one another. Herein is the love of God made perfect, because we love one another. Because we love one another. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son. Because He loved me long before I loved Him. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. What's that mean? We ought to love them before they love us. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. Come on. The hardest sinner I know can love people that love him. But how about loving the person that's hard to love? Think of some people that are hard to love. Don't elbow your husband. That's wrong. Okay. That's wrong, man. Come on. Okay. You know, there's some people out there that are hard to love. We know that. There's just some hard to love people. But in the midst of that, you know, we're called to love the hard to love. It's easy to love the people that love you. It's about loving the people that don't love you. It's about loving the people that are hard to love. It's about loving that guy that's challenging you. It's about loving the guy that's... Can I say this? It's about loving the old grouch next door. Come on. There's some old grouches around. It's challenging, man, but he calls us to love. It's a love walk. We're called to walk in love. And over and over and over, that's what he keeps reiterating. Watch what he says. There's a couple more things, and I'm going to go somewhere. Okay? He says in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. Watch this. I read that over a couple of times the other night. See, no man has seen God at any time, but God dwells in us. So if the world's going to see God, where are they going to see God? He dwells in us. Yeah. That's what he was saying. You've got to become the image of Christ. Doesn't Ephesians 4 tell us that we're to become to the image of Christ? To the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ? We're conformed and predestined to be conformed into His image. We're to be like Him. Over and over and over we keep seeing it. He says the same thing. But what He's telling us is that no man has seen God at any time. But if we love them and God dwells in us, they're going to see the love of God through His people.
Yeah.
Can I say this? Sometimes I feel it almost makes me cry. There are so many people that went to church because they were looking for God and got so destroyed by God's people. And I don't say that critically. I'm not trying to be harsh. I was one. Anybody ever got hurt at church? Come on, man. I went to church, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. I stayed in church, they gave me the left foot of fellowship. You know what I mean? It wasn't long, you know what I mean? Come on. When we first started Harvest Chapel, man, I got a whole bunch of people that just got a bunch of church. Been wounded, damaged, bruised, beaten, tattered, torn, and whatever. And we all got together and became the Island of Misfit Toys. We were the Island of Misfit. I told them, man. It's where we were, you know what I mean? Yeah, nobody else wanted us, so we just hung out together, man. Started. I think Jesus liked us. He showed up all the time. Okay, He still does. It's a good day. Listen, He's talking about walking in love, and that's what it is. It's about loving. So watch what He says, because there's a couple more things that I want to get somewhere, okay? Hereby know we, okay, that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Watch this. God is love. He says it a second time. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Did you catch the word dwells? Because dwells isn't a casual visit. It's not like every once in a while this thing just stirs up in me and I want to love somebody. He said, I dwell in love. It's where I live. It's my dwelling place. It's my home. It's there. I dwell in love. Love dwells in me. Does that make sense?
Come on.
And then, I've got to say this. Then about how you act in church. One of the stories that really rocked my world, and I think it's a strong one, but I had a Sunday school teacher when I first got saved, and I thought it was an incredible man. He had such knowledge of the Word. And, I mean, just, he impacted my life, and he really did. He really impacted my life. His name was Bill. Bill had a son named Jamie. Jamie was about 10 years younger than me. when Lori and I went into the ministry, you know, we'd come back to Butler. That was our hometown out near Pittsburgh. We'd come back. We'd visit the church. And Jamie wasn't coming anymore. They told me, Jamie doesn't come anymore. And Jamie had got a job at the Butler Hot Dog Shop, which is probably one of the best hot dog shops on planet Earth. And I felt so compelled by the Holy Spirit to go see Jamie. Y'all figured that right out, huh?
Okay.
So we ended up there, ordained of God.
Open vision.
And Jamie's there and he's working. And I got a couple minutes with him. I sat down. I really felt an opportunity to speak into his life. His dad had impacted my life. And I said, man, come on, man. You've got to get your act together. What's going on? And we talked back and forth a little bit. And I was just sharing with him, trying to encourage him. And I said something that it probably struck a chord with him. But it taught me a very valuable lesson. I said, come on, man. You got to get after God because you want to be like your dad when you grow up. And he flipped the lid right there. He said, no, you have no idea. Because you know my dad at church, but I know my dad at home.
Ooh.
You understand what I said a while ago about actors?
Yep.
There's acting Christians and then there's practicing Christians.
Yep.
Anybody understand what I just said?
Yeah.
And it really rocked my world right there. And I thought, man, come on, this thing's got to be real. Because if it's real, everybody around you is going to know it's real.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something, if it's real on Sunday, it'll still be real on Tuesday.
Amen.
And if it's real on Tuesday, it'll still be real on Friday. Because it's got to be the real deal or it's not at all. It doesn't even count.
No.
Who are you fooling, God? Come on. There's no way that that's ever going to happen. So when we read this and we see this, he says, herein is the love of God made perfect. Okay? Because he's poured his love into us. And he did it for a reason and a purpose that we might pour it out to the people around us. Because it's got to be the real deal. Okay? Now, look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Holy smoke. That's what they said when the church caught fire. Do you understand that it just said, as He is, so are we in this world? We're called to that. We're called to a place where we look like Christ. Where we walk like Christ. 20 years ago, if somebody would have preached that, I'd have called that blasphemy. I wouldn't have understood that at all. I would have said, how dare you think we could be like God? Then I read the book. And I read John 14, and you know what it said? He said, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these is he going to do, because I'm going to my Father. And I thought, oh my. Wait a minute. He said, I can be like him. Did he say, I can be like him? Then he said, as he is. He didn't say as he was. He said, as he is. Wow. Ephesians said, I'm seated with them in heavenly places. Look, I mean, I can go for a while on this, man, because I'm going to tell you something. We have an incredible opportunity to be like Christ. He's called us to be like Him. As a matter of fact, catch this. This is so cool to me. God dropped this revelation in my heart a couple years ago. But Jesus came as the express image of the Father. Am I right? Does the Scripture say He's the express image of the Father? Right? He came to represent the Father. Right? He came. What did He say? If you've seen me, you guys know that, right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Watch what He said. As the Father has sent me. Right? So the Father sent Him to represent the Father and be the express image of the Father. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So the Father sent Him to be the express image of the Son. Then the Son sent us to be the express image of Him.
Yeah.
Hey, God. We're called to be like Him. There's so much to that. And we're called to this place. But you know what? It's got to be a love walk. It's got to, everything that we do has to be out of love. It compels us from the love of the heart that the Father's placed in us to reach out and touch the people around us. Can I say this? I feel so strong about this, but watch this. Here's a man that's coming by me, and he's dragging his leg, and he's in visible pain. And I think I love him and don't pray for him, then I don't love him. How can I say I love you and let you walk by me in pain? Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's convicting. But if I really believe I got the answer and it's in me, so well, Pastor, I pray for a lot of people, nothing happened. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm telling you, man, John's talking about Todd. Boy, can I tell you some stories?
Okay. Well, I'm telling you this. God prayed for hundreds of people and nothing happened. Hundreds of people. Jackie used to get so mad at him. She'd sit out in the parking lot while he's in the Walmart praying for everybody. She's out there blowing over. Come on! Frustrated. He's still praying. And ain't nothing happening, so she's got to tell him. Ain't nothing happening. Okay. So, but he said, but the Word says. And he kept praying until he had a breakthrough. Once he had the breakthrough, I can tell you now that 90% of the people he's praying for is getting healed.
Of whatever's going on in their life. That's incredible. That's just fun. You know what I mean? Can I tell you?
They used to hate to go to dinner with the guy. Because they could never leave. They had to pray for everybody in the restaurant. Yeah.
So the kid asked a question. He asked me, why do you think that is?
I think we reach a level of faith where we actually believe something's going to happen.
Yeah. I think we keep praying and keep praying. It's almost like building muscle. It's almost like building muscle. And sometimes I even wonder, are we pressing through and pressing through
that I refuse to quit because I've seen it in the Word and I believe it's truth and I absolutely refuse to quit. I'm going to keep pressing because it's here and it says it's available and it's mine. And I'll keep going after it until I get it. I'm going to get the breakthrough. And finally, when the breakthrough comes, then it's like, oh. Because once you see it, Keith, once it happens, it's like, where's the next one? You know what? You prayed for a guy with a bad knee, right? And the knee got better. I mean, he's like, wow, look at that. Oh, my God. Oh!
You know what you're doing, right? Like, who else got a knee?
And then you're like, you know, I've watched it happen over and over where so many people from Harvest Chapel, because once you see it start happening, it's like a bloodhound.
Where's the meat?
You smell it, man. It's like you're going after it, because once you've had a breakthrough in an area, let me tell you a couple neat things. Want to hear a couple really neat things? Heidi Baker, who is over in Mozambique, they have 100% healing on deaf ears. Every child that they bring in, I'm not talking about hundreds, I'm talking about thousands. Thousands that are coming in with deaf ears are having every deaf ear that they pray for is opening up. David Hogan is seeing 100% healing in his ministry in Mexico on 11 major diseases that have been terminal in Mexico 100% of the time. Do you know how many is 100%? It's all of them. It's just amazing. But they're seeing it. He reported that. I'm going down to see him in January. It's going to be incredible. But it's happening. It's exciting to me. Where'd the breakthrough come? Can I tell you something kind of neat? Somebody just got bold enough to believe God. Amen. Watch this. I'm talking about David Hogan. You got to understand, in Mexico, they have a it's a different area altogether, but they deal with a lot of witch doctors and stuff there, you know, because they're among the Mayans and the Indians and stuff. Okay, so what's happened is they've breached into a lot of these territories and they've been threatened. Their lives have been threatened. It's terrible, some of the things that have gone on. But in the midst of that, one of the guys from the village got saved. His dad was a witch doctor. And the witch doctor had cursed over David Hogan's ministry and all kind of things and just been violent against him. And I mean, hated David Hogan and hated anything to do with Christianity and just really just attacked it left and right. But his son got radically saved. You know what happened? The next day, the witch doctor died. The witch doctor died. But it was that boy's daddy. You know what happened? He took his daddy in his arms and sat in a chair, holding his daddy on his lap, the witch doctor, saying, Jesus, I know you love my daddy. I know you said we could raise the dead. And I'm not letting go of him till you raise him from the dead. 6 hours, the man rocked his dad in the chair, in on a wooden chair, not a rocking chair, but he just rocked back and forth, holding, praying, saying, you said we would raise the dead. You said that we would see the dead raised. 6 hours later, the witch doctor sneezed, came alive, had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and went back and apologized to David Hogan. That's a true story. That's on his CD. But to me, that's amazing. 6 hours, he holds him. But the man's only been born again for 24 hours, and he's seen the dead raised. Well, that'll blow you away. I had a 90. How old was Mama Jenkins? 96? I think she was 96 years old, preaching in my church a couple years ago. She's seen 92 raised from the dead. 96 years old. She actually tutored under Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you probably heard his name. But she was a spiritual daughter to him. So anyway, just pretty cool. And he told her she would see the dead race. She was a young lady. He said, you'll see the dead race. Can I tell you what happened? She went for years, prayed for people, never saw too much, a couple of little things here and there, some healings and stuff, nothing major. Several years went by. She came up on an accident. She was living in Stamford, Connecticut. She came up on an accident where there was people and sirens and an ambulance and stuff. And she looked, and the car was all smashed up there. And she saw this, and she recognized that was her brother's car. When she got there, they were pulling a sheet over her brother. Mm. And she's screaming. And she got to understand, Mama Jenkins is a big African-American woman. And you know, they get kind of emotional. She, ah, Jesus! Ah, my Jesus! And she got really emotional. She tells the stories. I'm just telling her, like, she's telling her. But she got wild, man. And she started praying. And she said, no. And she refused to let them cover her brother up. And she said, God, you said, you prophetically spoke to me that I would raise the dead through Smith Wigglesworth. And I'm not letting my brother go. I'm not letting my brother go. I'm not letting my brother go. Guess what happened? He sat up. Yay, God.
Yay, God.
That was the first one of 92 when she was with me. I don't know if there's been any more since then. But what are you saying? I'm saying somebody got a hold of it, Keith, to the place where I actually began to believe it. And with the tenacity, you got to understand something. It was her brother. Do you understand? You grip harder on something when it means something to you.
Faith works
I hope that makes sense.
Faith works through love.
Yeah, there you go. Faith works through love. I love him so much, I can't let him go. And I got faith to believe that Jesus, you can change the situation. It's all through love. Does it make sense? It's all through love? Okay, we're called to a love place. Go with me. I want to go here. We're going to come back probably to 1 John 4 when we get ready to close in about an hour. Okay. But let's go to Luke chapter 10. Because you got to see this. This is so strong. I'm actually going to read this through completely, then we're going to come back and tear it up. Okay? But this speaks volumes to me. So much in my heart to share this with you tonight, because it tells me our purpose. It tells me our destiny. It tells me what God really expects from us, the body of Christ on the earth. Okay? Watch this. I want to read this through. I'm going to start at verse 29. Okay?
Now, where are you at again?
Luke chapter 10.
Okay, thanks.
Luke chapter 10. We're going to verse 29. As a lawyer that's been tempting Christ, who's my neighbor? Okay? He willing to justify himself said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? He says, Master, what am I going to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus speaks to him. I won't get into all that. But he comes to the place where he says, who's my neighbor? Watch this. Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Many of us in this room are so familiar with this story, but I want to show you what it really says, okay? And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host. And he said to him, take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want to talk to you. I've read this story for years. I've been in the ministry for a long time. Probably 2 years ago, God really downloaded to me what this was all about, because I thought I knew the answer. How many of you know it doesn't matter how long you're in this thing, you've got to stay teachable? Because if you'll stay teachable, the Holy Spirit will teach you. I had a man come to me this past week, and he was sharing his heart with me about some stuff, and I thought, man, I really need to sit and pour into this man, because he's misguided on some things. And the Holy Spirit spoke very strong and said, no, you can't. He's not teachable. I won't even go there. Let's just go with this. We've got to stay teachable. We've got to keep our hearts pliable. I'll go here. Let me go here. God's really spoke to me a lot about the difference between spending your time and investing your time.
Right.
Huge difference between spending your time and investing your time. And because time is a commodity that none of us can create more of, we become stewards of the time God gives us, and good stewardship is imperative in your time. I'm just going to leave it at that. Keep that as a seed thought in your heart. Holy Spirit will work with that. I promise you, you will. Amen. Go with me back to verse 30. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. How many know what Jerusalem is? It's the city of peace. How many know that Jericho is called the city of the curse? You go back to Judges, in the 6th chapter, remember that the walls fell? And Joshua makes a decree in chapter 6, and he says, cursed is the man that rebuilds the city, cursed will be his family, and cursed will be the city. Jericho was rebuilt, and while it was being rebuilt, the man who was in charge of rebuilding it died. It was only a few months later, and his sons all died. It's written in the scripture. It's a cursed city. Watch this. There was a certain man who went from the city of peace to the city of the curse. The certain man that he speaks about here is Adam, who represents all mankind, who was created and placed in the Garden of Eden in a perfect place. But he ended up from the place of perfection and the place of peace to a place of the curse because he fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment. What was his raiment? His raiment was the glory of God. He was naked and not ashamed. He was clothed in the glory. But when he fell by the wayside, the glory was taken from him. Oh, this is good. Man, I feel God in this. Watch this. In the middle of this, if you see this, okay, and he departed, they stripped him of his raiment, they wounded him. Why? Because he was wounded. And watch what it says. They left him half dead. Why does he say half dead? Because he was physically alive, but he was spiritually dead. Watch what he says. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Who was the priest? Abraham. Why? Because he was the father of the covenant. He was the priest, and God made a covenant by chance with Abraham, who was called the friend of God. He had a covenant with him, and God began to have a covenant people. But how many know this man, Adam, all men couldn't be saved by the covenant? Why? Because the covenant was only applicable to the people of Abraham and his seed. So it couldn't cover all men. Now watch this. So he looks, walks by on the other side, okay? But then it says, likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Who's the Levite? The Levite deals with the law. Who's the lawgiver? It's Moses. And you know what? It says Moses came by and looked on him and had the law. But how many know the law can make no man perfect? All the law could do, the law couldn't remove my sin. All the law could do was show me my sin. It told me, hey, you're a sinful man and you're in need of a Savior. But the law couldn't do anything for you. If the law was enough, Jesus didn't have to come. So Abraham and his covenant and Moses and the law couldn't do anything really for fallen man. Because even if there was a covenant on the earth, man was still fallen. Even if there was a law on the earth, man was still fallen. But then came a certain Samaritan. Woo-hoo. Why does it say a Samaritan? You got to understand, on the earth there were Jews and there were Gentiles. Who were the Samaritans? They were half Jew, half Gentile. That was that. That was Jesus. He was Jewish on his mother's side. The Samaritan represented the entire human race, the Jew and the Gentile combined. Jesus came as the representative man for man. He was representative of the entire human race. And when he came by and he saw fallen man, he said, I can't leave you in that condition. That's why I came. Oh, hallelujah. So he comes and he pours in the oil and he pours in the wine. What are you talking about? It's the Holy Spirit of heaven. He said, I'm going to do something about fallen man. I can't just leave you to lay there and die. So he pours in the oil, he pours in the wine, and he puts them on his own beast. Where does he take them to? He took them to the inn. Guess who's the inn? The church. The inn represents the church. And what he commissioned the church to do? Take care of fallen man. If that don't jump your tractor, you've got a dead battery. He's called us to a place, man, where we got to take care of fallen man. How can you just walk by on the other side? If you do, you're just religious. How can you just walk by? You got somebody that you love and care about, and they're on their way to hell, and you're doing nothing about it, then you're just religious. Because if you had love in your heart, you couldn't just walk by. If you really were filled with this thing, and you really believed it to be true, and you really believed every word of it, how could you just walk by? He's called us to so much more. He took him to the inn. Watch this. And he paid the price. Everything you need to take care of fallen man, I've just paid for. Everything you need to take care of fallen man has been purchased already. It's a done deal. It's a paid for price. I'm going to tell you something, man. This thing compels me and it tells me, you know what? I can't walk by the sick anymore. I can't just walk by the fallen anymore. I can't just walk by unconcerned and turn my head the other way and say, well, they know where the church is. Come on, because we've done it. Because we've said it, because we've gone down the road, because we've said the things that we've said. We've said, well, you know what? They know where we are. If that's what they want to do, that's their choice. I'm going to tell you something. He said, Jude said, of some having compassion, pulling them right out of the fire.
That's right.
It's a love walk. And everything that I read in 1 John tells me that love compels me to do something about it. There's a right way and a wrong way to go about it. I promise you that. I can tell you this. When I first went into a Pentecostal church, I was born and raised Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy. I was a good altar boy. I knew. I rang the bells, man. I mean, I was an altar boy for 8 years, so I was a long-term altar boy. Then I became a commentator at 11 o'clock Mass. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's the guy that reads the scriptures for the priest. I was 17 years old. My hair was down to about here. I'd get drunk on Saturday night. I'd be in there on Sunday morning and the book's moving. I'd hold the book still. Okay, so, but I felt like I was okay because I got in the box on Saturdays once a month. You know what I mean? The little priest slid the window, looked, said, oh, it's you. Let me get comfortable. I can go through the whole thing. Yeah, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. You know what I mean? And right down the line. And I thought I was okay. I wasn't okay. I was a mess. But I went to a Pentecostal service, and for the first time I felt the love of God. And I'd watched them pull people out of the pew, drag them to the altar, and I thought, if they pull on my arm, we're going to need a healing service. Because there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Yeah. Right? Love's still the answer. And when I'm going to tell you something. When somebody knows that you love them, now you have a place to speak into their life. But if they don't believe that you love them, you have no voice. Everybody understand what I just said? God's really been dealing with my heart about that. You'll never have the opportunity to really speak into somebody's life until they actually believe that you love them and that you have their best interest at heart, not yours. Do you understand what I just said? Love's still the answer, man. Watch this. Let's come back to the Good Samaritan, because you've got to understand it. It's really the Great Samaritan, if you want to call it that. Okay? But he says, on the morrow, look at verse 35. Okay? On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, that's the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. Take care of him. What did he do? He commissioned the church. Take care of fallen man. Watch this. Strong. Take care of fallen man. And whatever you spend more, when I come again, trust me, it'll be worth it all.
Yeah.
Trust me, it'll be worth it all. Trust me, it'll be worth it all. Chris Valaton is Bill Johnson's assistant pastor. I was at a service with him a couple weeks back up at Christ Community Church. And when he preached up there, he really touched my heart because he said something I never thought about. But you know how we can read and we can look at the 24 elders when they're falling down and they're saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, 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 worthy. And you know what? He said something that really touched my heart. Here's what he said. He said, I thought about that and I thought about everybody who's ever gone to heaven. I thought about everyone that's ever stepped over the sapphire seal of heaven's gate when they stepped in. You know what they could say? It was worth it.
Yes.
See, worthy just means you're ascribing worth. It was worth it. It doesn't matter what you might go through on the earth. It doesn't matter what price you feel like you might have to pay. I promise you, on the day that you step over the other side of Jordan, you'll look up and say, man, it was worth it all.
Yeah.
I'm still compelled by love. That I can't possibly walk by and not do something about fallen man. Everybody see that? That's really strong in my heart. We Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor among him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. What Jesus say? Go and do likewise. Come on, man. Is there a message to anybody else besides me? Because let me tell you something. I can't miss this one. It's just too plain. It's just too in my face. It's just too right there. I'm compelled by love. It's still a love walk. I'm still called to out of love. It's got to be real, man. It's got to be real. I'll talk to you about some things. Did you ever have somebody tell you they love you and you knew they didn't? I've had situations where people have been real upset with something and maybe they're causing a bunch of division or something's going on in the church. So I got to approach that. Now, Grace says, you're doing okay. Oh, I love you, Pastor. I love you. And I'm thinking, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because you know they don't mean that. And they're mad and frustrated and angry and whatever, you know what I mean? And you got to deal with some things. When somebody really loves you, you just know it. It's just real. So does the world. We've allowed people to come into our assemblies and we said we love you and we welcome you, but they haven't always felt loved and welcomed. Shame on us. Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Don't let fallen man just lay there and walk around them. Don't just ignore them. I get excited. I had something happen to me about a year and a half ago. I went to a meeting down in Florida, and I'm standing there, and there's people that are praying for a lot of folks. And there's a guy with green spiked hair, right down the middle. He had like 5 spikes, you know. I thought it was a stegosaurus on his head. And they went everywhere. And I looked at him, and he's praying for people. And I'm watching the power of God flow through him. And I mean, people are getting touched. And I started laughing out loud. Because 10 years ago, he'd have never laid a hand on me. Now I got one in my church. But anyway, he's laid hands on everybody. But you got to understand something. We're compelled. Yeah, we're compelled by love. And I get excited when people come into our church who don't fit the Christian mold. Anybody understand what I just said?
Yeah.
That guy started coming a little while back. And incredible guy. Can I tell you a story? It's a neat story. He got in some trouble and had to do community service. So he called. His mom actually called. And she had been to a couple services, got really excited. So she had him call me. He said, why don't you go up and see Pastor Don, see if they can do some community service at the church. So we have a big garage out back. It's like 27 by 39. And you think you have this big garage, you've got plenty of room. But how many of you know you accumulate junk according to the size of your storage? Okay. So I don't care how big your storage gets, you just get more junk. Okay. So we're packed out junk everywhere. So I called him. His name's Shane. And I said, Shane, come with me, man. And we'll go out here and I'll help you. We'll do it together. And he's freaked out because he's got like 3 lip rings and a whole bunch of earrings and a shaved head and all the stuff with that. And he's tattooed all over. And he said, really, you'd help me? I said, sure. So we'd do it together. So we hang out. I'm talking about kingdom. And he's never heard some of the stuff that I'm teaching him or we're talking about. And we're just sharing Jesus back and forth. And he grew up in church and went to Christian school and all the things that go with that. But you know what? For the first time in his life, it started becoming real. And he felt like somebody actually cared about him.
Yeah.
Because he was sure his appearance was going to freak me out. Now, I've got to tell you the truth. 15 years ago, he freaked me out. He said, you go to the garage, I'm getting the kids. Because I didn't understand. I was messed up. I had to get some revelation. You all right with that? But in that, watch this. He goes out there. We're back and forth. He comes a couple of days. Can I tell you what happened? He put his 40 hours in, and we still weren't done. And he came back another day and donated it free because he just was having such a good time there. So then he shows up in church, and he's got a band, okay? And it's a Christian band. They're playing Christian music, but it's the screaming Christian music. Anybody familiar with what I'm talking about? Somewhere there it says, God, I know it. Okay.
That's going to repeat it.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. And in that, And you got to understand, it's their bridge. They tell me. I wonder if that'll be in heaven. Never mind. But in that, you got to understand, he started bringing all his band members. Now they all come. Matter of fact, sometimes they back Pam up on Saturday nights when the other team can't be there. And they're incredibly in love with Jesus. They went to a thing up in Freedom Valley, which is up the road on 30 from us toward Gettysburg, if you know where that's at. And it was a special night where he brought a bunch of bands in. And Shane told me, he said, I had 15 of them. And he said, I got them to sit down on the floor, and I just started preaching kingdom to them. And he said, an hour later, one of them tried to get up and said, I'm not done, get back. He said, it was incredible. What do you think happened? Can I tell you, and I don't want to say this wrong, please don't hear this the wrong way, but when he came to work in the garage, somebody cared enough to love him where he was at.
Amen.
And look what happens. I'm telling you, we got to be compelled by love. It's a love walk.
That's right.
It's a love walk. And you got to love them even if they don't look like you. Because they're going to come through our doors. I promise you, in these last days, I was telling you, it's the most exciting time on planet Earth. They're going to come through our doors. They're going to have green hair and purple hair. They're going to have tattoos. They're going to have rings in places that you didn't even know you could put rings. There'll be all kind of stuff going on. And you know, it's okay. Because how many know? Souls. It's so strong. But Samuel saw it years and years ago when he went to anoint a young boy named David. God said, you look on the outward appearance, but I'm looking on the hearts. Somehow along the way, we got to get past some of the barriers that we build in what we call church and start being the body of Christ. He turned the world upside down with a bunch of misfits. Come on.
That's a good word.
He turned the world upside down with a bunch of misfits. If you were the Savior of the world and you had to pick 12 guys to turn the world upside down, I'll bet you wouldn't have picked that 12. You got a tax collector, a couple carpenters, some fishermen that were loudmouth cussers. So, you know, come on, man. Doesn't sound like the best group alive. But he did it. Yeah, because he sees so much different than we do. Here's a really good prayer. Father, let me see through your eyes. Let me borrow your eyes that I might see the people around me different. I promise you this. This is a good word. God's really been depositing this so much in my heart. Everything that you view in life is totally determined by the lens you view life through.
Amen.
And I've had to pray, God, change the lens. God, change the lens and let me see things different. Because I will tell you, I'm 27 years pastor now. But about 10 years ago, my life started really shifting. Probably 5 years ago, it took a dramatic shift. And He's still working on me, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. But I'm having the best time ever. Man, am I having fun. Okay. Let me do this. We're going to pray in a minute. I really believe it all works through love. See, you can say the Scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. But the only way faith works is through love. So I can tell you that without love it's impossible to please God, because faith will never work if you don't have love. And we can go down 1 Corinthians 13, and I was kind of thinking about getting there, but I don't need to. You guys know the story. But I'm going to tell you something, man. Now abide with these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is still love. Come on, man. We live in a world that's lost hope. And the only way we're going to see hope restored is you and I go out and love them. And how are they going to know we love them if we ain't touching them? I had the mentality for a long time, they know where we are. Then I read the book and he didn't say, tell them to come. He said, go ye. Come on, man. He didn't say, go ye and tell them to come in. He said, go ye. As a matter of fact, he said, as you go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. When? As you go. How many know it's an as you go gospel? It's an as you go gospel. Man, we got to make a difference. He's calling us to an incredible place where we're actually impacting the people around us now. It's fun. I'm having a ball. It's just a good day. Yay, God. Stand with me. I'm going to do this. We're going to pray for the sick, right? We're going to turn some things loose. We're going to see God do some things. But before we do anything else, can you join hands with somebody close to you? I like to do this. We do this a lot at home. Wow. need to understand some things. If I can share this with you the best that I can. I could have went back to 1 John 4. It said, perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. See, I used to think the opposite of love was hate. Now I understand the opposite of love is fear. And you read that in that context, you'll understand what I said. I don't have time to go there and revisit that, but I'm telling you, the opposite of love is fear.
Amen.
It's not hate.
Amen.
Why does somebody hate? Just because they're afraid.
That's right.
Hate's just a byproduct of fear.
Yes. That's right.
The opposite of love ain't hate, it's fear.
Yes.
I can preach that for about an hour. Sit back. No, never mind. You got to understand my heart in that. Father, I just thank you. We've joined our hands and we've joined our hearts with one thing in mind, God. We need you to fill us up. We need the love of God to fill us up more than it's ever been before. God, I'm asking for a fresh baptism of love. I'm asking, God, for a fresh immersion in the love of the Father for every individual within the sound of our hearing. I'm praying the love of God would just fill us up. I'm praying, God, that your love would be so strong upon us that, Lord, we'd be reminded of the Good Samaritan and realize everyone that we walk by, we've been commissioned from heaven to touch. God, I'm asking you to just come. Come in your grace, come in your glory, come in your power, and baptize us in a fresh baptism of love. God, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. And God is love, so we would be filled with the fullness of love. We'd have no choice but to love. Love's the only option. It's a non-optional thing. God, we've got to walk in love. You called us above everything else to be a love walker. God, if we're ever going to be water walkers, we've got to be love walkers first. But God, I'm asking you, let us walk in love. God, that your love would just constrain us, that it would fill us up to the place where we're just overflowing. Lord, where we're like sponges that are so full, love just starts bouncing out of us. And everywhere we turn, the love of God just is filling out on the people around us. And God, that your love's going to make the difference. So that when that one wants to rise up against us, all we can do is look at him in love. That we'll never be angry or offended or upset. Lord, that we would actually get to the place where we're unoffendable. And the only way we can ever be unoffendable is because we're so filled with the love of God that offense doesn't even have a place in us. So Father, I'm asking you, just come. Come and fill us with your love and let it be to the place where it's overflowing. Where we're walking in love in reality, God. Where love's our answer. Where love's the only option. Where somebody that comes against us in anyway, all we can do is look at them and love on them anyway. And just say, man, I love you and I feel sorry that you're in that place, but I love you. God, that we'd still hate sin, but we'd love sinners. That we'd still love, God. Even when it seemed like it was a tough place, God, love would become our only option. There'd be such a baptism of your love upon us that we couldn't possibly stay the same. God, that we'd reach out in love because love never fails. Because love believes all things, bears all things, and hopes all things. And love never, ever fails. Teach us what that really means, God. That love won't ever fail us. God, I thank you for it and in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for the sick.